Miles, William Quackenbush, Kelly Gramlich. We're going to the Northland Communication phone lines in a moment. 654-ROAR is the number. This hour brought to you by our friends at Zero Res. Listen, I know Mother's Day is over, and so if you want to get your mom the gift of clean carpet, that point is past. Father's Day is coming up, though. You know what? Dad uses that carpet, too.
Clock, every day should be Mother's Day, though. We know this.
Well, that's a very good point. That's a very good point, and I'm glad that you brought that up because it's never too late to get a better gift than whatever you got your mom for Mother's, you know, like a half dozen flowers or something. You can do better than that. Maybe clean carpet's the way to go. Or maybe you're like, these carpets have had it. I'm done. I'm done not being able to control my kids going bonkers. I'm done not being able to control the Zoom meeting getting changed 4 times. I'm done. But this is something I could control. Let Zero Res control the cleanliness of your carpets with their second to none process that's unbelievable. And really still doesn't take a backseat to anybody or anything. Even during this time of social distancing, they're going to social distance while they clean. Right now, you schedule that cleaning with Zero Res, you get 3 rooms of carpet clean, only $129, plus a complimentary cleaning and disinfecting of common touch surfaces. Call 864-558-7300 or schedule online at ZeroResGreenville.com. Zero Res, spell it backwards or forwards. It's the right way to clean. Kelly, has anybody said Trevor Lawrence yet? Anybody?
On the text line?
To the original question.
No, not
minute
yet.
Minute to go, down 6.
We do have this answer that says, it's really a tragedy to have to pick between 2 national championship winning quarterbacks. What a dilemma. So, basically saying either one is fine, which I agree with, but no one has explicitly made the case for Trevor. We do have this answer from Philly Hank from the 704. The Ohio State game this year shows Trevor's clutch capabilities. With T and Justin banged up, he won the game with his legs and by diving the length of the field on 4 plays to win that game. Driving the length of the field, sorry. I'm not sure I'd pick him over Deshaun, but I think he displayed clutch comeback capabilities. So that's the closest answer we've gotten to Trevor.
Who would you pick in the first half?
I'm picking.
Now there's a question.
Clock, I'm picking Deshaun.
You're still picking Deshaun?
I'm picking Deshaun. That's my answer.
I don't think I'm taking Deshaun.
Okay, well, I am.
Okay. Well, I'm not. Well, I mean, I like when quarterbacks throw it to my team.
Is it weird too? I think I'm not gonna say this saying. This is probably not a good saying. I'll say you always remember your first natty. How about that? You always remember your first natty. I think there's a nostalgic factor with Deshaun too.
Because he
did it first. Yeah. And he's so beloved. And I'm not saying Trevor isn't beloved. All I think of is, and this is still my favorite, probably my personal favorite video that the Clemson social media team's ever put out. It was when Deshaun was going to run down the hill for senior day as a junior, right? And it got all these videos of all these fans saying, thank you, Deshaun, thank you, Deshaun, thank you, Deshaun. All different fans, all walks of life. Then the kid at the end says, thank you, Deshaun, you're my hero. That's what people feel about Deshaun. That's how people feel about Deshaun. He's so beloved.
There is a great nostalgia.
And I think
factor.
That's just hard to compete with. You know?
I agree.
Even if you are Trevor Lawrence.
Let's go to Paul, who's up with us next on Northland Communication phone line. 654-ROAR is the number. What's up, Paul?
Fine, guys. I mean, what you just said, Clark, that kind of settled me. I think I would take Trevor in the first half and Deshaun in the second, but I don't think I could pick either one of them. You know, I really don't. But no disrespect to y'all. I know if I don't, you know, I know you're not the type if you disagree with you don't get mad. But if I'm riding down 85 and listening to y'all today, some people might be thinking Trevor Lawrence is a slouch. I mean, Kelly, I'm going to paraphrase what she said. She said maybe next year he might be able to, you know, take over that throne or something like that. It was something like she said. But this guy went 15-0, won a national championship, blew out to Miami, Alabama. I can't pick neither one of them. I love Deshaun Watson with all my heart. I mean, you know, he was probably the greatest player we ever had. But it's hard to pick from either one of them. But it just feel like y'all kind of, not you, Clark, but Kelly maybe a little bit is disrespecting Trevor's ability. You do remember Deshaun did lose the Pittsburgh game by throwing some picks and, you know, down near the goal line.
Paul, I'm literally the one that brought that up. I very much remember that.
Yeah, I know. I know. I heard you say that too, but I do remember that. But I cannot pick neither one of them, just be honest with you. But I would, what Clark said, I believe I'd take Trevor in the first half and then take Deshaun in the second. But no disrespect to either one of them. I couldn't just, because Trevor may win one more, and who knows, he may win two more after all this has come down. He may not leave, you know, early. Who knows? But I think they both going to be sensational when it's all said and done. Well, Deshaun's already. But like I said, I can't pick neither one of them. That's just being honest. And I just feel like if I'm going down 85 and I'm just to turn y'all on, it's like, well, I thought this guy was going to be a first-round draft choice, the number one pick in the lottery, you know. But it's just an impression I got. But no disrespect to either one of y'all. Y'all have a great day.
Thanks, Paul. We appreciate it. That does speak to something I've said before about, and I was actually thinking about this while I watched the game last night. If you're a Clemson fan, the weirdness of that game and the beauty of that game is that you never want to see that game ever again. If you're a Clemson fan, you would much rather see what happened 2 years later in 2018.
For sure.
44-16. That, it's the difference between, like, to me, a dominant team doesn't have a game like, and I'm not saying Clemson's not dominant. I'm just saying we view great games between great teams much differently than we view dominance.
Well, I would also argue that 2016 Alabama, that defense was a lot better than 2018 Alabama.
That defense,
that's
the offense wasn't as good,
fact.
But the defense was a lot better.
Here's the
it
thing.
Was so hard to score. I mean, honestly, it was so hard to score.
Yeah.
They
no one had scored on them all year.
Didn't they have 14 going into the fourth, Clemson? I might be misremembering that.
I believe so. They scored 21
sure
in the fourth.
Right.
Yeah.
They scored 14. That's a guy that threw for 400-some yards, had 14 points in the third quarter.
Here's what I would respond to Paul. And I'm not happy if he's hearing that I'm disrespecting Trevor, because that's not my intention. That's not what I'm trying to do. I said this was a very difficult decision. I said, I think it's a little unfair to debate this when you're talking about three seasons of Deshaun and two seasons of Trevor. That does seem a little unfair to Trevor, because his career, his story is not yet written. It's not finished here at Clemson. So let's just be very clear about that. But also, as a sports radio host here, I don't feel like I have the luxury of saying I'll choose either one. It's a question. I'm trying to answer the question.
Right.
I'm not just going to sit here and say, well, I'd love to have either one. Sounds good. That's not my job. So, of course, I said that. I would love to have either one. But if I have to choose someone, I am going to choose Deshaun. And I'm admitting that I think part of that is a nostalgia. There's a nostalgia part of that I can't really explain.
Well,
but I am not disrespecting. Do you think I'm disrespecting
one.
Trevor?
No, not really. I mean, look, here's the deal. I'm going to say yes, but with a caveat. Yes, you are, but I also was disrespecting Deshaun. You can't argue for, you can't have this question with impossible choices without arguing against your choice. And people say, why do we have to argue against? Because I'm trying to justify my choice. I would take Trevor Lawrence because he doesn't throw the ball to the other team. That is being negative about Deshaun Watson, who threw a million interceptions in his career. And the one loss they had was, they almost won because of him, but they, like you even said, they lost because of him. He was in close games sometimes because of some decisions that he made. Trevor Lawrence, I don't think, has ever been in that spot where he's been in a close game because of decisions he made. But also, Will Vandervoort points this out, I think it's a good point, the defenses that Trevor Lawrence has had the last 2 years, probably a little bit better and more complete than those Deshaun Watson defenses as well. And so he could play a little more free and a little bit loose. It's just different. It's two different things. And so you can't justify a choice between two great players without somehow pointing out what one guy did better than the other one. You can't do it. It's not possible. That would be a boring conversation if we tried to do it that way.
Exactly.
And it would be a dumb conversation if we tried to do it that way. Like, everything's amazing about everybody.
How would we have a show if we both just said, well, either one would be great? Of course either one would be great. They both won national championships.
I will say this, if you look at the two seasons Deshaun was the starter and the one season Trevor Lawrence is the starter, Trevor's quarterback rating, pretty significantly higher, and it's because of the interception totals. And Paul did say one thing that I disagree with about Trevor in his favor. Trevor didn't go 15-0.
Correct.
That season.
And we have talked about this many, many times.
I don't believe, we can't prove it, I don't believe they beat Texas A&M without Kelly Bryant. I think that's the one game.
I agree with you 1,000% on that.
You could argue the rest of it, but I think in that particular instance, without Kelly Bryant, they probably lose.
What about offensive lines? Which QB had the better offensive line? Or has had the better offensive lines?
David Hale has done some really good breakdowns of offensive lines in the ACC this morning, and I was reading his thread, and his argument is that Clemson's going to dip a little bit on the offensive line because Carmen's the only one back. He says that last year's Clemson was probably Dabo's best offensive line.
I would agree.
And that's probably also true.
I'd agree with that.
Now, who was it?
Deshaun had freshman Mitch Hyatt and freshman Sean Pollard as his two tackles in that game, didn't
he? That's true. Now, that, I believe so. That offensive line was good up the middle, though.
Yeah.
I mean, they could run it. Now, they didn't have an explosive.
The National Weather Service in Greenville-Spartanburg has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for central Raven County in northeastern Georgia, central Oconee County in upstate South Carolina until 2 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. At 1:14 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, a severe thunderstorm was located near Clayton or near Tiger, moving east of 40 miles per hour. Hazard, 60 miles per hour wind gusts. Source, radar indicated. Impact. Expect damage to trees and power lines. Locations impacted include Walhalla, Clayton, Mountain City, Tiger, Salem, Lake Mott, Oconee State Park, Black Rock Mountain State Park, Mountain Rest, and Long Creek. Scattered trees and power lines will be blown down in the warned area. Seek shelter inside an interior room. Please report damaging winds, hail, or flooding to the National Weather Service Greenville-Spartanburg by calling toll-free 1-800-267-8101 or by posting on our Facebook page or tweet at using hashtag NWSGSP. Your message should describe the event and the specific location where it occurred. Repeating, a severe thunderstorm warning has been issued until 2 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time for the following county, Raven, Georgia, and Oconee, South Carolina.
Part of he was hurt.
That's so, right. The most classic home game of the Trevor Lawrence era, Chase Bryce won the game.
Yeah, yeah.
Chase Bryce was the quarterback when the game was won. But Deshaun had the Notre Dame monsoon. He had the Louisville game with Lamar Jackson. Even the NC State, when they blew out NC State. I mean, they were in some classic games at NC State now. And that, like the Ryan Finley and that whole facade
Trevor
there
was
that
great
NC State
in that
had.
Game, though.
Trevor was great in the blowout of NC State.
He was almost perfect.
But that also goes to the point. We remember these close games.
It's tough. You're right.
Where probably, I will say this. Probably if Trevor Lawrence is a quarterback, those games might not be that close. Or they might be two possession games instead of one possession games. Because Deshaun did turn it over more. He made more play, but
okay.
He did turn it over some more.
Okay.
And so I'm going to tiptoe around this and saying that maybe some of the loosey-goosey Deshaun Watson attitude has contributed to his allure, and Trevor Lawrence is boring by comparison. Because he just does quick work, and he blows everybody out, and it's no muss, no fuss.
Sure. I agree
with
that.
And I don't know that's not fair. It's not fair to Trevor that we credit Deshaun Watson for close games that Trevor Lawrence will never be a part of. And it's also not fair to Deshaun Watson that Trevor Lawrence gets a full slate of NFL skill players and the best offensive line of Dabo's era and maybe the best defense of Dabo's era. Although, the point of Philly Hang made on the Health Their text line, that Trevor had to win the Ohio State game with his legs because it would have been the equivalent of Deshaun trying to come back against Alabama without Mike Williams and Deion Kane. He didn't have Higgins. He didn't have Ross. Like,
what about the fact that Trevor Lawrence has never had a tight end?
That's another good point.
Poor Trevor.
That's another good point.
He's never had a tight end, Quack. Okay, two texts I want to read. First one from the 803. Doesn't it say something that we're having this conversation and Trevor still has a whole year left?
Yes.
It's a very good point.
Yes, we are.
And that's what we're saying, that things could change.
Deshaun had already built up a little bit, but Deshaun also hadn't won a championship at this point.
Right.
If they don't win the game in 2016 and Deshaun Watson's career isn't punctuated.
People view Trevor differently because Trevor would have won the first natty.
That's right. And that's also not Trevor's fault or Deshaun's. It's not anybody's fault. It just is.
Okay, here's another text from the 864. I have to take Watson over T-Law. Watson put Clemson on his back and climbed the mountain. Trevor kept us on top of the mountain. Maybe it's a sentimental thing, but I have to go with DW4. Also, my dog is named Watson because of him.
I do think they're going to be more, like around 2030, they're going to be more... applications to Clemson coming in with the name Deshaun then around 2035.
Oh, kids named Deshaun? Trevor. Or kids named Watson?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
I think there's that much of an endearment. There's an endearment factor.
And then we get the text. One text says Quack hates Deshaun and one text says Kelly hates Trevor. So that's where we are.
Oh, I love that so much. That's really good. All right, let's take a break. We come back. We got a question earlier, and we talked to Brett about this, the new college baseball stuff. I want to talk about that. Plus, we have many more things to do. We have enough for a six-hour show today. Roy Philpott's coming up at 2:05. That's going to be fun as well. Stay with us. We'll return in a moment.
Our lives have changed tremendously lately. Founders Federal Credit Union wants you to know we're here for you. While our world right now may be uncertain, your money at Founders is not. Founders Federal Credit Union is fully backed by the NCUA, and Founders members have many ways to access their money at Founders. Our drive-thrus remain open, many with extended hours. Our ATMs are fully serviced. Founders Online and the Founders app are available to you 24/7. Relax. We are your credit union, and we are here for you. Not a member of Founders? Visit relaxjoinfounders.com to apply for membership.
Even in these challenging times, Parham Smith and Archinold, a medical malpractice law firm in Greenville, Spartanburg, and Charleston, is still accessible during regular business hours. Call and they can arrange video conferencing to assist with your medical malpractice concerns. The health and well-being of your family is paramount, and Parham Smith and Archinold is dedicated to ensuring you're taken care of. Parham Smith and Archinold, call 242-9008. Online at parhamlaw.com. That's parhamlaw.com.
You know cars and trucks cost less than Travelers Rest at George Coleman Ford. Did you also know George Coleman Ford is always looking to buy quality pre-owned vehicles from you? Even if you don't buy from them, they can make the process smooth and easy in buying your pre-owned car, truck, or SUV. It's the way George Coleman Ford has been doing business in Travelers Rest for over 86 years and four generations. Whether buying from them or selling to them, trust in George Coleman Ford.
Here's Tom Hill from Catazoom Wraps.
A vehicle wrap is like a mobile billboard, and it works for you 24/7. It can be anything from just getting your name and your logo on your vehicle to a complete full wrap. And what that does is allows us to give the client different price points so that if they have a tight budget, we can work within that tight budget. What separates us, I would say, is that we're a full service in-house. We do everything from design to printing to installation. The number one thing is customer satisfaction. We want to put out a quality product. We want people to be happy. We want people to turn around and tell somebody else, hey, these guys, if you go with them, they're going to take care of you. If we wrap a vehicle and somebody in turn starts to generate revenue from it and book business, that's what we're all about, is to help other businesses grow their business.
Check them out online at katazoom.com. That's katazoom.com.
Hey guys, summer is here, the gyms are open, the beach is open, and the world is getting back to normal again. It's time to get off that couch and get moving again. If you've got no energy, no drive, and have gained a few pant sizes in the last few months, come see us today at Low Country Mail. For just $200 a month, we take care of all your testosterone, labs, physicals, unlimited doctor visits, and your prescription management needs. It's time to get back to work and get back to making men and America great again. Come see us today in Greenville off Pelham Road, lowcountrymail.com.
Hey Tiger fans, have you heard that Lakeside Lodge Clemson is officially open? Lakeside Lodge is a one-of-a-kind condo hotel with the best resort amenities and unbelievable views of both Lake Hartwell and Death Valley. Whether you're looking for an upscale short-term stay Are you in the market for a none of the stress but all of the comforts of condo ownership? Lakeside Lodge is the perfect place for you. To find out more, go to LakesideLodgeClemson.com. Lakeside Lodge Clemson. It belongs here, and so do you.
The flagship station for Clemson football. We are the Roar.
Welcome back to Out of Bounds. Hour number two begins right now. Quack, it's Memorial Day weekend. I feel like I've dropped the ball because I haven't been playing USA songs. So we'll remedy that because we need some USA jams. And this all fits together. This is all a part of my plan because this weekend, Engineered Sleep is having their massive Memorial Day sale. You're not going to find deals like this anywhere else in the upstate on mattresses. And you know the quality that you're going to get with an Engineered Sleep mattress made in their warehouse, locally made, and they can deliver it to you wherever you need it to be delivered right here in the upstate. Support a local business. But here's the deal with their Memorial Day sale. 20% off everything. Their mattresses, their face masks, their bed frames, everything. 20% off everything, plus free delivery. If you use that discount code MADEINUSA, that's MADEINUSA, go to their website right now, engineeredsleep.com, or go see them at 627 Congaree Road in Greenville. That massive Memorial Day sale, 20% off, plus free delivery if you use the code MADEINUSA. Give them a call, 866-244-0898. Visit them at 627 Congaree Road in Greenville or check out their website, engineeredsleep.com.
Let's go to the Northland Communication phone lines. Lincoln is up with us next. 654-ROAR is the number. What's up, Lincoln?
Hey, Clark. How are you doing?
Doing good, man. Hope you're doing well.
I am. Thank you. To answer the question between Trevor or Deshaun, I actually wouldn't take either of those. I would take Taj Boyd.
Wow. Okay. Why Taj over the other two?
I would take Taj because I think the drive, you'd have to look more at the weapons around him than just the quarterback himself. And Taj would stand in the pocket and he would just take hits. And he could also make clutch throws like the 4th and 16. And I think he has better receivers than Hopkins and Sammy than either Deshaun has had or Trevor.
Very interesting. Lincoln, I'm glad you brought that up because that is answer C, and we didn't even give a choice C. That's good. I appreciate the phone call. Thank you. What about Taj Boyd in this conversation?
Lincoln, we appreciate the call. I think there's definitely an argument to be made for Taj, but I think one of the arguments against Taj is probably that he had Sammy and Nuke. You know, he did have weapons. Now, he didn't have the defense that these guys had, and he didn't necessarily have the running backs. And there were a few times where Taj, I hate this discussion. There were a few times where Taj had some issues in the clutch. I know 4th and 16, it's legendary. It's one of the biggest plays in Clemson football history. And you can even look back at some other big Florida State wins, Auburn win, all that. But a few times against South Carolina, there were some turnover issues too. So I think Taj is third. I think Taj is a very, very good choice. You can't go wrong with Taj either. But I wouldn't put him in the group with Deshaun and Trevor. What about you?
This is just an interesting stat that I'm looking up right now, and I'm actually in the process of doing some math here. Do you know what Taj Boyd's record was in one score games? This is fascinating to me.
And I'm assuming it was pretty darn good because the main losses he had were blowouts, right?
7-0.
Wow.
From 2011 to 13. Now, they did lose the South Florida bowl game where he was 13-23 for a buck 12, excuse me, two touchdowns and a pick in 2010. That was, I consider that Kyle Parker's year. Taj Boyd was the 3 years after. Never lost a game by one score. So you could argue, much like I am, maybe you take Taj Boyd in the second half of games. Because
sure,
if you take Trevor in the first half, build a lead, Taj in the second half, he's going to keep it up. Or, you know, they did get blown out quite a bit. They did lose by, you know, 20-plus points a bunch of times. One, two, three. Let's see. Three times they lost by that much. Four times they lost by 20 more points
and
in
I
those
think
3 years.
It's tough for a lot of Clemson fans to stomach the South Carolina losses. That's part of what makes Deshaun so beloved, too, is we haven't even mentioned this, but I believe it was Mike. Where is that text? I believe Mike and Clemson gets in. He says Deshaun Watson because of the South Carolina game, specifically the ACL game. Deshaun never lost to South Carolina. He ended the streak, and he beat Carolina on a torn ACL. It's really tough for people to forget about that part, too. So I think that is part of his legacy. And then you look at, I know that Deshaun in 2016 and 2015, those South Carolina teams were bad. 2014, they were okay. Trevor's played a lot of really bad South Carolina teams, too. So even though he's beaten them and blown them out, those teams have just not been great. So I think there's a South Carolina part that people struggle to overlook with Taj. Maybe the nostalgia is a factor there for Lincoln. I don't know Lincoln's age, but probably Taj is the first Clemson quarterback he remembers. So there might be some nostalgia there for Lincoln with Taj.
I think Taj Boyd, you can certainly look back to those moments. He had some clutch drives against Ohio State as well. He kept leading them out there, kept leading them back in that Orange Bowl. And part of it is, like you say, the team around these players keeps getting better. So if Trevor played with better teams, maybe not better receivers, but better teams than Deshaun, and Deshaun played with better teams than Taj, then the opportunity for Trevor to blow people out and opportunities for Deshaun to play close games and maybe Taj loses some games. Like, those are things that, again, they happen. You can't pretend that they didn't happen, and it's hard to remove guys from context.
Yeah, it is. It's not apples to apples to apples because every team is different, and the defense has got continuously better.
That's right.
And just the offensive line's got better, too.
All right, we got to get back to the Pac-12 quarterbacks, and we're going to
Wait. Before we do that,
yeah,
I have to read one text that I think was so spot on about this, and I haven't thought about it this way. This is from the 706. This Deshaun-Trevor discussion is kind of like Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. Favre won the first championship in a long time and was more fun to watch. Most Green Bay fans would rather have Favre despite better stats from Aaron Rodgers. What do you think of that comparison?
You know what? I'm okay with that.
Take out the temperamental nature of Aaron Rodgers.
I'm okay with Favre. Well, and Favre, you know, Favre threw a lot of picks.
Yeah, he was more of the gunslinger.
Threw a lot of picks.
But he was the first, not the first.
Was more entertaining. And that, again, that goes back to the premise that games like they replayed last night are maybe because of some fallibility that makes a team somewhat less than dominant. Like, if you're a fan of a team, you want to dominate everybody. If you're a fan of a sport, you hate dominance. Some people want to watch dominance. I personally don't. I don't like dominance because dominance tells me I don't need to watch that game. That team's going to win. It's, you know what? It's some of the conversations we had before we lost sports about it's your comment about, you know, I really wish that Clemson would play closer games. It's that kind of stuff. Games featuring dominant teams are not as fun. Just like players who dominate games are not as fun. I think generally speaking, if you're in a game and your team is dominating and this player is dominating and the result of the game reflects that domination, not like Jordan drops 60 in a two-point win. I'm not talking about that. That's a different type of thing. That's some Deshaun Watson stuff right there. But I'm talking about this team is so thoroughly dominant that the players are so great that we almost breeze past it because we're yawning ourselves to sleep because this game's not even close. I don't think we appreciate dominance nearly enough, just in the context of sports, because we love great games so much featuring two teams that could beat each other. I don't know what that says about us. I don't know that that's a good or a bad thing. I just think that exists in the world, and it's reflected in some of these conversations. We got a text a little bit ago and was asking about the college baseball thing that we talked to Brett about. I'm going to lay this on you, okay? I'm going to lay this on you and get your thoughts on it because I think there's a lot to be gained here. Now, there's some things that they still got to work out. I think I don't think it'll be uniformly accepted in a lot of ways. But this is a new, particularly with some programs cutting college baseball, a lot of the things that people have talked about in the sports, like, we can't do that, we can't do that, I can't do that. Well, now everybody knows that you got to do something. Something's got to be done because the sport has to become more self-sustaining or else the game is going to die. The game is going to, you know, it's going to die in a lot of the smaller schools, which means there are not going to be enough opportunities, which means it's going to die at the grassroots level. If there aren't opportunities, kids are going to pick other sports. It's going to die. That's when it's going to die. Not the major league level, people not going to games and all that stuff. It's going to die right here. If people can't go to college and play baseball, they're not going to pay, you know, a bunch of money for travel ball, and they're not going to invest in it as much. Here is the sample 2022 season that's come out of this. It's sort of a committee of coaches in a broader committee of coaches.
Wait,
that's sort
2022?
Of examining the game. 2022.
Oh, I didn't realize this was for 2022.
This is for 22 because, again, we have no idea of knowing what 21 is. I think there's the idea that this season is going to be basically we're going to play whatever we can when we can. And then by 22, we'll get to back to some semblance of normalcy.
Okay.
With
all
the
right.
calendar and everything else. So I think that's the reticence that people have to adopt something new for 2021. This is for 2022. College baseball season starts on March 18th, which right now it starts around Valentine's Day. So we're talking a month later.
Yeah, sometimes on Valentine's Day, as we've discussed with the coaches.
That's right. And 9 weeks of different, you know, workout, what you can have 8 hours from January 15th through February 10th, and then 20 hours a week from February 11th to March 18th will be the calendar.
Interesting. Okay.
June 22nd to 26th will be conference tournaments. June 27th will be selection show Monday. In the past, it's been Memorial Day. So it would be Monday. We'd be doing the ACC baseball
this weekend.
Round robin invitational this weekend. Then July 1st to July 4th would be NCAA regionals. July 8th to 10th, super regionals. July 15th, College World Series begins, and the National Championship Series, July 23rd, 24th, and 25th. All of this is about a month later.
So what's the reasoning in a non-corona world? Is the reasoning for this that some of the teams in the North, in the Midwest, we're talking about Michigan yesterday, for example, because they can't really play in February, it's more likely they can play home games in March so they wouldn't have to go on the road as much early?
Yes. There are really three facets of this that's laid out by Kendall Rogers and talking to a bunch of kids. Randy Mazey, who has a connection to Jack Leggett's staff and is at West Virginia, is one of these. Backich, the coach in Michigan, is in this. Dan McConnell is in this article. Jim Schlossnagel, who's connected to Clemson, TCU, is in this article. There's a bunch of different coaches here that are represented with different viewpoints and how this thing could work. There's a financial sustainability piece. There's a student welfare piece as well, like Dr. James Andrews talking about how we could have some benefits there, which that was a little much. Like, I don't know that I can actually distill that. You might have to go look at it. You can find this online. And then there's an academic piece where you turn it into more of a, like it's spring sport, but then also you've got a summer element to it where there's less time, where you're in class full time and all this stuff. All right. The financial piece is this, and this is pretty astounding. All right. They took the 16 teams that hosted postseason in 2019, looked at their average home February attendance, and then looked at their attendance by month. Would you believe that, and I'm just going to go through each team, all right? Arkansas, from February to June, this is a team that averaged 77-37 in their stadium in February. That's big crowd, bigger than Clemson. They had month-over-month increases in March, April, May, and June. So by June, they had over 11,000. Now, that's postseason, but April, regular season, you're at 9,200, right? Let's see. Other teams have month-over-month increases. Louisville, where it's cold in February. Heck, it's cold in March. 26%, 85%, 73%, and 17% increases month-over-month. Mississippi State, 8%, and then down 1%, even then up 29%. Mississippi State. Stanford, 16, 19, 4, 50%. Vanderbilt, 14, 6, 4, 5%. Essentially, what they're saying is every single team sees almost exclusive increases, and the decreases you see are like 1% or 2% month over month. And it might be that you had a really good series in March and you don't have a really good series in April. Or maybe you only have one home series in April and so you're getting fewer for that one. The attendance piece says people watch baseball in the summer. Jim Schlossnagel said Fort Worth's minor league team gets 4,000 or 5,000 fans. At TCU, we could probably pull that in the summer, but we're not getting that in February. In Clemson, you could say, look, the first third, almost a quarter of the season that we finished, I guess we were done the first quarter, almost first third of the season that we finished, you see a bunch of empty seats. We get to May, there's not nearly as many empty seats.
You know me. I am much less likely to do anything outdoors in the months of February and March.
That's right.
If it's cold, this sounds very simplistic, but cold weather definitely takes away from your casual fan attendance.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt about it.
There's no doubt. Here's another astounding fact. In a study just 2 years ago, this is from the Kendall Rogers piece, D1 Baseball, only four SEC programs are making money.
Really?
Arkansas, LSU. That's, yes. Arkansas, LSU, Texas A&M, and Ole Miss.
Mississippi State does not make money?
No.
With that stadium that we saw?
Vanderbilt broke even.
That is baffling.
2 years ago. And Arkansas, they had new suites and club seats in their stadium. Their stadium's huge. They almost reached $1 million in 18-19. I think they're the most profitable program in the country. Texas makes money as well. I think those are the only five programs in all of college baseball.
Why does baseball lose so much money? Is it because
travel
and equipment costs and just all because your teams are big?
Yeah, and you know, you're not making as much in terms of tickets. The value of your ticket's a little bit lower, it's a little bit of a cheaper ticket.
Right.
You're also having to pay out a lot more in terms of you're not having to fully fund scholarships, but you're having to take out of your general budget other things. It's also bigger outside of football. It's a bigger roster with 35 guys. And again, a lot of stuff's not funded by scholarships, so you have to fund them other ways. It's very interesting. Like, baseball is not anywhere a revenue-generating sport relative to what you spend. And the thought is, if we're not having to not play home games for a month in the North, we might make money, or at least get closer to making money. If we're not having lower crowds in February, and instead you roll that over and we have bigger crowds in May, June, and then perhaps July, when people are, you know, able to spend and able to go to games, maybe we're able to attract more people to the ballpark rather than the people who don't want to bundle up even for a 4 o'clock game because it's too cold.
It's very interesting. I have some thoughts on this too, just questions about student athlete well-being, like when are they going to have time off?
Yeah.
That's a question I have there. And then we have another question with how this will affect summer leagues in Cape Cod, which I'd love to get your thoughts on, Kwok.
Yes.
I want to read this text from G Vegas Michael, who says, I am much more likely to take my family to a night game from Greenville after school is out.
Yep.
So that's a very good point from him.
You're getting families in a ballpark, and particularly for places like Clemson, where a lot of people do come from, you know, they make 40-minute drives. Daylight savings is also an issue.
Yes.
It gets dark later in the year, so you can be out a little bit more with kids and things of that nature, particularly if you're having to drive back somewhere. I just think there are some drawbacks, as we can discuss, because you just mentioned one of them. We'll get to that on the other side. Stay with us. More to come out of bounds in a moment.
Up next, it's Don Munson with your daily Tiger update, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union on the Clemson Tigers Network.
Relax, Clemson students, faculty, staff, and IPTE members. You can join Founders Federal Credit Union with convenient services like the Founders app with mobile deposit, Founders online, and online applications. You can spend less time in our office and more time cheering on your Clemson Tigers. For product information, visit foundersfcu.com. Not a Founders member? Visit relaxjoinfounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA and a proud partner of Clemson Athletics.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to the show. Last night, ESPN replayed Clemson's win over Alabama 35-31 in Tampa. That was Clemson's first national championship game, the one that they won on January the 9th of 2017. Just a few numbers from that game that you may have forgotten. Certainly I did as I went back and started looking at some stuff. I did not realize that in the game, Clemson had 31 first downs to Alabama's 16. Obviously, Clemson rolled up 511 yards of total offense. They had 308 of that coming in the second half of play. If I were to tell you that Jadar Johnson was the leading tackler in the ball game for Clemson, you may have forgotten that, but he led the way with 8 tackles in the contest, and of course Deshaun Watson was brilliant in the game, going 36 of 56 for 420 yards, three touchdowns. Oh, by the way, he also ran the ball 21 times for 43 yards and a touchdown. It was a spectacular game, and if you were in Tampa or wherever you were, you will not forget that win over Alabama. What a great way to send us into this summer. And our report brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union, the official credit union of the Clemson Tigers. Relax with Founders Federal Credit Union.
First Class Halt specializes in service. That's why we only service Honda, Acura, Lexus, and Toyota. We believe in being experts in our field and these makes. Don't take our word for it. Read our reviews. With two locations to serve, Greenville and Anderson, firstclasshalt.com, your dealership alternative.
I'm Richard Thompson of Thompson & King Law Firm, and I believe that every person has a God-given desire to work. That's why I take Social Security and workers' compensation cases very seriously, because most folks don't really want to think they're disabled. They hesitate to file for disability, and when they're turned down, they hesitate to appeal their case, but they are disabled. If you're presently unable to work on a daily basis, even if you don't fully understand the cause, come see me. I'll take your case seriously. I know you do.
But Thompson King Law Firm, 222-0200.
George Coleman Ford is offering big savings right now with great financing packages. All new 2020 models, excluding Super Duties, are available with 0% interest for 72 months. And your first payment isn't due for 120 days. There are never any hidden fees at the dealership with multiple President's Awards. George Coleman Ford, four generations doing business right. George Coleman Ford and Travelers Rest. Offer good with proof credit with finance through Ford Motor Credit.
No time to call in? Hit us up on the Health Dare text line. 864-986-1566. From The Roar.
Continues out of bounds. William Gogwis, Kelly Graham. Like, Monty Lee has sounded off on this plan, just for the record, and he is in favor. And didn't really have a, you know, like, didn't really have caveats. Now, I'd love to get him on at some point soon to talk about this. We're going to work on that to get him on as a part of this, just to talk about this plan and what it means. But he didn't, I mean, you got more characters than he used to say whether he, you know, he could say, I support it, blah, 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 we need to keep talking. He's like, yeah, I'm in favor of this. And I think there are a lot of coaches who are in favor of it.
There's a lot of positives. And we were just talking about them during the break, too. We weren't following, I know Roy Philpott's our next guest. Roy's biggest motto always is, save it for the air.
Save it for the air.
And we weren't doing that during the break.
No, we weren't.
Sadly.
Roy, we won't even talk at all in honor of Roy between the top of the hour and 2:05 when Roy comes on with us. What are some of your thoughts about this?
Well, I think there are a lot of positives, and I don't have as much knowledge as you, Kwok, and others that are a little more in the baseball world about the Cape Cod League and the Summer Leagues and the Woodbat Leagues and all these leagues that help players get more reps and get better. But when you look at the calendar, and we've seen this, Kwok, we've seen this really with your schedule at times. Baseball, because it starts so early, it really conflicts with basketball at times. So not only do you have, we're having to juggle announcers, right? And you got to, Don only can be in one place at once. So you, and then you have.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, right.
Yeah.
Then you have home basketball games on the same day as a home baseball game, which is tough for the people at Clemson to deal with too. And it forces Clemson fans to choose and to not pay full attention to one or the other. That's just reality. You got to choose which one you're going to go to. So if you start in March, baseball can really have its own season to a certain extent. And July, we know, you and I know, there's nothing going on in July. I would love this because we'd have more to talk about. I think networks like the SEC, ACC network would love it because they'd have more things to put on TV. So there's a lot of positives there. I know that a lot of baseball players, you know, they finish their season and they go play in a summer league or they go play in Cape Cod or whatever. So they might not have as much time off as anyone else in the summer. But I do worry about just, are they going to have any sort of off season? And maybe the fall is their off season. I know they do workouts. They do the Omaha Challenge and things like that. And maybe they're just fine with that being their true off season. But you are extending this way into the summer. And you're going to...
Weather Service in Greenville, Spartanburg has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for Transylvania County in western North Carolina, southeastern Henderson County in western North Carolina, northwestern Greenville County in upstate South Carolina, Pickens County in upstate South Carolina, northeastern Oconee County in upstate South Carolina, until 2:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. At 1:47 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, a severe thunderstorm was located 13 miles southwest of Brevard, or near Gorges State Park, moving east at 40 miles per hour. Hazard, 60 miles per hour in gusts and quarter-size hail. Source, radar indicated. Impact, minor hail damage to vehicles is expected. Expect wind damage to trees and power lines. Locations impacted include Greenville Downtown, Brevard, Pickens, West Greenville, Berea, Travelers Rest, Flat Rock, Slater Marietta, Rosamond, and Salem. Remain alert for a possible tornado. Tornadoes can develop quickly from severe thunderstorms. If you spot a tornado, go at once into the basement or small central room in a sturdy structure. Scattered trees and power lines will be blown down in the warned area. Seek shelter inside an interior room. This storm is also producing extremely heavy rainfall. Flooding of drainage ditches and low-lying areas may occur. Small streams will rise rapidly. Do not drive through areas where water is flowing over the road. Repeating, a severe thunderstorm warning has been issued until 2:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time for the following counties in North Carolina, Henderson and Transylvania, and the following counties in South Carolina, Greenville, Oconee, and Pickens.
Around the time of super regionals, a lot of times the draft is, and so players getting ready for College World Series have to deal with that. There's just a lot of that going on. Right now, think about what Major League Baseball is actively doing. Major League Baseball is about to have a five-round draft. Major League Baseball has also floated trial balloons out that could mean 40 or 50 minor league franchises may be contracted to try to keep things nice and tidy. So you're looking at the elimination of a lot of short season and low-level baseball where teams would draft guys in June and then put them in short season, and it's like a little mini season, a little mini camp for them. Those things are going to go away. They don't want to fund it. They want to try to cut down the number of players that they have to subsidize in the league, in the minor leagues particularly. And so this would be a good time for college baseball to say, we can keep these guys playing because the Major League Baseball franchises don't need them in July anymore. They don't need them in August necessarily anymore. And they don't need as many of them as they maybe have in the past. So because of Major League Baseball's shifting sands, because of the changing stances on some of these issues, this might actually be the perfect time for college baseball to try this new calendar, whereas in the past, it might create more issues logistically for guys trying to get drafted, for teams trying to scout, and all this kind of thing. It feels like Major League Baseball would get on board and almost walk hand in hand with college baseball through this zone.
That's interesting, because they would have to
heads right now.
Fund less minor league things, right?
That's
it
right.
It could save them some money.
That's exactly right.
That's very interesting.
And that is ultimately what everybody's trying to do here, is make more money and spend less money. Because it was really, you know, it
it's
was
all about
one,
the
of
money.
Course. Of course. And it's just one of those things where the bottom line, it's not the only thing that matters. There is a student athlete welfare piece in it. There's an academic calendar piece to it. And I'm not focusing as much on that, because I don't think it matters quite as much, because I don't think college baseball is having an existential crisis around academics as much as it is around finances at this point.
And I think there are some benefits for the academic piece. You know, a lot of other athletes are on campus in the summer anyway because they're required to be there, or it's voluntary, but they choose to be there because they can take classes, they can work out, all these types of things. That's the reason why I was able to get my degree in 3 years, is because I was there in the summer. I took summer classes every year. So there are benefits to this for the student athlete. And generally in each summer session, you would only take two classes. So you'd take two classes start, let's say, mid-May through June, and then you take two classes July through first week of August or whatever. And you get some credits, and you can take a harder class in the summer, and you have more time to focus on it, more time to study for it. there are some benefits here for the student-athlete experience, especially for guys. You know, we see a lot of Clemson baseball players who leave after 3 years. If they're able to get their degree in 3 years because they can use some of the summer, like some of the football guys do, that could end up being a positive.
Oh, there's no question that it could be positive here. There is absolutely no doubt in my mind that I think everybody could potentially benefit. Now, there are going to be some who maybe don't like it as much for, maybe teams who are going to have small attendance regardless. Maybe they don't like this because it keeps them having to employ, like, student workers, for instance, to work some of these games through July. This is not going to be for everybody.
Sure.
Certainly not going to be for everybody.
I feel like baseball has to do something to help those teams in the Midwest and to help the balance of power, because we've seen, I know that Michigan just played for the College World Series, and we've seen some of the West Coast teams that have really, really good years, but there still is such a balance of power in the South and the Southeast, and this could help some of your Midwest teams, maybe even Northeast teams, come back into relevancy if they can play later.
I agree.
Clark, speaking of the cold, tell the listeners what your brother said about, because he's a former college baseball player, about playing in February.
He had two questions about it. His primary question was, what happens with wood bat leagues? Like, he played in wood bat leagues when he was in college. He knows that deal. So he said, what about wood bat leagues? I feel like it wouldn't be good for the Cape and all this kind of stuff. But then I pointed out the schedule and the front part of the schedule, and he's like, yeah, that first month does suck. I mean, like, every day is the worst.
February is the worst.
If you have ever been to a game and looked down, even Clemson, which I don't know if you noticed, but relative to the rest of the nation, Clemson is a little warmer, right?
Right.
Look down at a dugout sometime in February during a Clemson game and try to see who has the most layers on. Somebody's wearing four layers. Somebody's wearing four layers. There's people with gloves on down there sometimes because, like, the wind whips through the stadium and gets trapped sometimes.
Do they ever put heaters down there in those dugouts for those guys?
They got, like, warmers. They got warm areas. And they can go back in the dugout if they want to, you know, inside where it's heated. Certainly true. However, it is better to try to stay cool in July than it is to get warm in February.
Right.
And it's better to try to stay cool when the sun's out at 8 o'clock and everybody's having a good time than when the sun goes down at 4:30 and it's cloudy and dreary and muggy and you think it might snow today. That's a little different for baseball. My dad played, he played high school and in 1 year of a small college baseball up north, and he talks about playing in the snow and how miserable it is playing in that cold.
That sounds terrible.
It's just not. I mean, it's just not fun.
Terrible.
It's not fun at all to do that. It's mm-hmm. right. And I wouldn't know. I would not know in any way, shape, or form because I had never played in the snow. I don't think.
But that's a very good point. That's a very good point from your brother.
I mean, it needs to be said. I think this is good. And I think it's good because the current model has proven unsustainable in places where you thought that it previously was. When 125 years of baseball history get cut, that's a problem. When you're looking around the country seeing, for instance, Bowling Green is where Oral Hershiser came from, that's a problem. Like, that's a Hall of Famer. That's a problem.
Also, Hall of Fame baseball name.
Correct. Oh, fantastic name. It just feels like those are the first shoes to drop. And if they don't do something to make the game more viable, then all of a sudden, and then look, I also think when football happens, some of these concerns will go away. But I think a lot of sports, a lot of coaches and a lot of administrators, a lot of leaders in these sports are looking at each other going, something's not right here. If we're relying on football happening to exist in sort of major schools in major ways, that might be a problem. We might need to try to get out from that model as best we can. It's not going to be possible everywhere. It's really not going to be possible a lot of places, but it could be closer to a reality for these schools if some reforms are made. And there are other people going, look, part of the reason we've been trying to get more scholarships funded, tried to get the fourth paid assistant coach funded, we try to get these things funded, and it's always shot down because the sport's not generating enough revenue in enough places.
Kwok, we get this text from a person who's had boots on the ground. He's played some baseball in some cold weather, okay, from the 864. I grew up in Michigan, our apologies, and played in the Wood Bat League. So we played as early as February, and there was nothing worse than playing in snow, breaking a bat, having the bat come apart in your hands, and then you can't feel anything for 3 days.
It's horrible.
That sounds terrible.
It does sound terrible. It does sound terrible. Baseball was made to be played when it's warmer.
Yes.
It was made for warmer weather. And sometimes you have to play it in the cold, but it was made for warmer weather. It just is what it is. It is interesting that I'm looking up at the sky, and the sky is, the night is dark and full of
terrors.
Yes,
listen to the, we've had a few of the weather announcements come over the radio, so please listen to those, follow those, stay safe out there.
This feels like the exact perfect time to bring on Roy Philpott.
It does.
In the next segment.
Let's hope we don't get a weather announcement during Roy.
I know.
But if we need to, it's fine.
I just hope that nothing happens here, because I need Roy to give us full-throated analysis of the weather, plus his views on a host of topics. That's when we return from Out of Bounds Hour 3.